word of encouragement was that God had no negative thoughts about you. Amen? I want you to hear that. God has no negative thoughts about you. Well, what does that mean to me? Well, that does not excuse us from sin. All right? The reason being is, and the scripture I've got coming to you is Ecclesiastes 3, but I want you to, the one I was going to do was start in verse 8, but I want you to back up here, and I'm going to go in Ecclesiastes 2, and God gives a reason why you want to stay out of sin. Listen to this. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. Amen? So what's going to happen is, those who are good before God, how do you know you're good before God? Because you got the one that's good living in you. You've been washed in the blood. Amen? So we don't go back to our old ways. We don't go back to our old sins. We don't go back to that old way of life, because everything, the Bible says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Eventually, you're going to see the goodness of God in the righteous. And the righteous are those who have been washed in the blood. Their righteousness comes through grace and faith in Christ. It doesn't come because of our works. But if we continue willingly in sin, the Bible says there's no longer a sacrifice for sin. You can be tempted and fall. And all of us are subject to that. And that's when you stand up and he said, confess your sin. In 1 John, he said, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. But if you willingly continue in doing the things that you know is sin, eventually it's going to catch up with you and it's going to cost you mightily. But know this. God has no negative thoughts about you. He hates sin, but he loves you. Praise God. Amen? Well, it got awful quiet in here all of a sudden. So I told you, I'm not a theme preacher. I don't do messages on theme because it's Thanksgiving. We do one on Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, and Father's Day. I don't do that. You know that. If you've been around me long enough, you know I try to be led by the Spirit so that you get the messages that I believe that God is trying to bring across to us, that our lives may be changed and transformed into the image of Christ, knowing that we're in this world but not of this world, and this world no longer has an effect on our lives. Amen. That we can walk and we can stand and we can be above all the principalities, rulers of the darkness, world, evil, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Because the Bible says we're seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Far above all those things. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So the curse no longer has an effect on those who are walking with Christ. Amen. Our struggle has always been between our thoughts and our own wills and all those things, because we look around and we see things, and it's very easy to get caught up in what you see with the natural eyes rather than what you see with the spiritual eyes. Once you get caught up in the natural eyes, you will see hopelessness like you've never seen it before. You will experience and see fear like you've never seen it before. You are seeing the increase in fear in this nation like you've never seen before. You've never seen an election that did what it did right now and having the effect that it has right now. It's amazing. It's amazing. Why? Because the Bible says that the enemy, Satan, is going to get angry because he knows his time is short. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to move your eyes off of what God says and on what the world says. And if he can get you to do that, if he can get you to focus on this world rather than focus on the kingdom, the darkness of this world will become darkness to you and you'll be blinded to the promises of God. Amen? So our goal is to understand that when God started this whole thing, he did not just start it and go along with it and say, well, what do you think? Should I do this today or should I do that? You were planned before the foundation of the world. Your whole life was planned out by God before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Yeah, but. Hallelujah. We'll look at that later. But I want to do it first with Jesus. Amen? In Ecclesiastes 3, and you know these scriptures, but I'm going to say them anyways. In everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. And a time of war, and a time of peace. For every purpose under the sun, there's a season for everything. Our lives are broke down into seasons. You'll have a season where we've been through things, and it seems like that season goes on and on and on. We look to the Lord and say, Lord, where are you in all this? Lord, help me. I can't take anymore. I can't do anymore. I can't go through this. And what does the Lord do? He brings you out of all of it. Not in your time, but in His time. Because in everything that you go through, there's a purpose, and that purpose is to gain in knowledge of Him. I remember, and you all know that Diane has gone on to be with the Lord, and many times I talked to her, and she came to understand something. She came to understand that her life was to glorify Him. And that was her last words. Matter of fact, I can remember walking down the hallway when she was going from her room. I was walking with her, and we're going down into hospice so she could look at it, because she really didn't want to go there. But she went down, and I was walking with her, and she said, I just want whatever happens to glorify Him. Those were her words. Once we understand that God is in control, His plan shall be worked out. You're part of His plan, your purpose in life. This world down here is only temporary. You're gonna be here for a moment. The Bible says it'll be like your smoke in the air. I don't want to be mean, but you know, we'll live this earth. We'll affect different people. We'll get married. We'll have kids. We'll do all these things. But once we leave this earth, we'll be remembered for a while. But the next generation is far removed from what we were. So they don't see us. They're not going to remember everything. Now, the reason some people are remembered, they're written down in the book. But if they don't open the book, you don't know they're in there. We got photographs and, if you know, albums. You know, open up pictures in the albums. Oh, yeah, there. You know, there's photographs right now at my age, which I'm a tender young 69 still. Not much longer, but I am. I can look at photos and I'll go, who's that? And they were in the photo with me. Because it's just time, forgetful, things go on. But the one thing you have to know this, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it'll never be removed. You'll be remembered forever in the annals of history of heaven. And when the roll call is called, they'll call your name. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's a purpose that you're here at this moment on this earth. There's a reason. Well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my reason is. I'll tell you the same thing Diane told me. It's to glorify Him. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old, whether you're beautiful or ugly, or you're fat or skinny, It doesn't matter. We all have the same purpose. Your life has meaning and purpose to it. And God said at the moment in history, in the moment of whatever history is, if we could see into his books and we could see how his plan is all, and we don't see it. We don't see it. We do not see it. We see it as, the Bible says, we see it as a cloud, like a, it's dim. And we can see parts of it. We can understand a little bit here and there, but we can't understand the fullness of it. But there's a purpose for it. When it was time for Jesus to come along, there was a purpose for it. And matter of fact, let me take you into Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Yeah, that's where I want to go. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Yeah, we'll read that first and then we'll go back the other way. Then we'll go backwards. It's always nice to go forward and then backward. You can do that in the Bible. You can see the beginning from the end. You know God put all of mankind, all the history of the church and everything's right in here. Not every detail of it, but the history of it. That's why we can say, no matter what happens, we win. We win. We don't lose. Amen? We win because God told us we won. God cannot lie. Well, how do you know that's written by God? Because it's never been proven otherwise. You tell me one person has ever proved this is not God's own words. Never happened. That's why we ignore it at our own peril. Amen? Because God established a pattern and a plan and a purpose for everything under the sun. Listen to what he said in Galatians 4. Hallelujah. Where are we? He said this in chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, hallelujah, it says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Good news. Good news. I'm a son of God. Before in the Gospels, you always read that Jesus was the firstborn. But after that, it said that he was the firstborn among many. We're part of the many. Glory to God. Well, you can say, well, yeah. We say, who's your father? My father and mother is so and so. But who is? Of the flesh, yes. You have a mother and father. But of who you truly are, the spirit, your father is God. Your brother is Jesus. Now, I know, you know, so you got to take it the right way. I know and you know there is no male or female in God's kingdom. In the spirit realm, when we're set free from this flesh, we have a spirit body. And there's no male or female. The word of God tells us that very clearly. You look like you do. So we have a father. We have a brother. The Holy Spirit. What does a mother do? Comforts and helps. I am not calling the Holy Spirit as a female, but I'm saying the attributes of female and male are all in God. All of it. You're not something separate. That's why he said it. He can say it. That's why the detriment to the church is we say, well, you're a female. You can't do this or you can't do that. No. In God's eyes, they're equal. They're the same. He created them that way. Matter of fact, out of Adam came Eve. Amen. Woman means a man with a womb. Okay. When God said man, he was talking about man and woman together. In his eyes, they're the same. Amen? But we all have our own parts to play. A man has to learn to love the woman, and a woman has to learn to honor the husband. When both those things are working, you have perfect harmony in the marriage. You have perfect love flowing, acceptance. Amen? Hallelujah. Why did I get onto that? I shouldn't have. Let me read that again. But when the fullness of the time had come, go back with me into Isaiah 7. There's over, I don't know how many. Let me put it this way. There's a lot of them. I know of at least 100, but more, of prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. But in Isaiah 7, here's one. All right? Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. So Isaiah was prophesying the virgin birth of the Savior, Emmanuel, or God in the flesh, or God among us. Now go to Matthew 1. Why am I Malachi then? I don't know. Matthew 1. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Between the time of Isaiah and the time of Matthew was approximately 700 years. So God had spoken to a prophet, Isaiah, back in his day about the birth of a virgin, of a boy born to a virgin when Christ was born. 700 years later, it came to pass. 700 years. From Malachi, which in our Bible is the last book of the Old Testament, to the birth of Christ was over 400 years. During that time, they said there was no prophetic word being spoken by God. Silence. And then came Jesus. What happened during that time? Well, what happened was that people started turning to man instead of God. And man started revealing what they believed God said rather than truly what God said. And so people were being confused. When Jesus came, he said he had compassion on the people because he looked at them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They weren't leading them to God. They were leading them to their own selfish motives. But there was a time. And there's a purpose for that time. What it is, we don't know everything. We just know this. The call, according to God, there was a fullness of time when all of a sudden, Jesus came on the scene. There's a fullness of time from creation to this moment that you came on the scene. At the exact time that God ordained for you to be born, you were born. The exact place he told you to you were ordained to be born, you were born. And often I think of this, I said, Lord, what if I was born in China or born in Russia or born in, you know, some place where there's nothing and out in poverty and sickness and diseases? I don't understand God's plan of anything. But he's got a plan. Well, it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't. To the natural mind, none of this makes sense. We can see the result of the plan. We can see how the planets are aligned. We can see how the stars and the sun stays up in the heavens. And we can see all these things come to pass. We can see all these things. We say, oh, I can see God's hand in all this. Yes. But we don't understand the fullness of the plan of God for all of this. There's something there that he has kept us from seeing the fullness of it. He allows us to see a little bit of it where our part is concerned. He allows us to see a little bit more where his scriptures reveal to us to encourage us that he's not done yet. I don't care how bad it gets, he isn't done yet. I don't care how bad it looks, he isn't done yet. I don't care what to the natural eye it looks as if everything is falling apart and nothing is working and we've been praying and we've been believing, but nothing's working. It isn't done yet. And we may not know the fullness of everything. We may not understand all of God's plan and purpose for why he allowed that to happen and this to happen and that to happen. But in the end of all things, when we stand in heaven and stand before his glorious presence, he will reveal the fullness of it to us. We will see it. We will learn it. We will understand it completely. And the detriment to man is that somehow we incorporate our thoughts and say, this is how God thinks. It is not how he thinks. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They're higher than yours. Once we come to understand that God is sovereign in some things, that he does not give us understanding fully, completely, he will show us things. He will tell us things. He'll reveal things to us. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Supernaturally, God will do things. He just did that with me again the other day. And I'm going to share it sometime maybe. But until then, I didn't see that before. But God shows us things at times. But know this. There's a fullness of time coming when Jesus is coming back. And you can look at things, well, it doesn't look, it appears, it can happen any second. Because we don't know when the fullness of time comes. He shows us signs. He shows us a little bit, a glimpse. He shows us, and the biggest sign is Israel. You watch Israel, you're going to see signs like you've never seen before. All these things will start to come. We'll start looking, well, it must be this, it must be that, it must be this. No. Just like Samuel went to David, and he went to anoint David, and he said, oh, this must be the one God wants. Oh, this must be one. God said, no, you're looking wrong. You're looking with the eyes. He said, you don't understand. I look at the heart. The Bible says when there's the fullness of number that comes into the kingdom, that's when he'll return. Well, what's the fullness? We don't know. You don't know how many it's going to take. It could take one more soul. Take a million. Well, it could take 2 billion. But that can happen in a very short period of time. 3,000 souls got saved in one day. Just as that quick. God moves. Man, oh man, oh man. What are we supposed to do? Be ready. Don't let your purpose and your time slide on by. Jesus came. His purpose was sure. He knew what he was called to do. He knew that he had his time. And he knew his time wasn't forever. They all thought that he was going to set up a kingdom. Oh, he's going to be our king. He's going to defeat and overthrow Rome. And we're going to have our nation back again. No. He said, I didn't come to do that. I didn't come. He said, if this world was my kingdom, if this was my kingdom right here, me and my whole disciples, we'd all fight for it. But it's not. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. Our lives are here. For a season, for a purpose. But when we leave this earth, we're not going any place but home. That's our home. Not this. We're down here for a purpose. We're down here to glorify him. To let other people know who Jesus is and what he will be to them if they allow him. God's got a plan. There's the fullness of time. Listen to this. In Galatians 4, verse 4, tells us that it was a perfect time for Christ's birth in Bethlehem to occur. God was the one who brought it about. God orchestrated all the necessary events. Let's think about a succession of those events spanning several hundred years. One, over many centuries, God brought about a succession of world empires, eventually leading to the Roman Empire. During the rising and falling of successive empires, God sent Israel and Judah off into captivity in Babylon and Assyria. Then God brought a remnant of the children of Israel back into the land after their captivity. God subsequently brought the land of Palestine under the rule of the Roman Empire. At a particular point in time, he caused a particular emperor, to decide to take a census throughout the empire. Do you see all these things? We call them coincidence. We call them natural progression of society and all that. But God was orchestrating something. He was bringing into position everything in order for this to come to pass. He's down to this point right now where he had a Roman emperor make a decision to count the number of people under his rule. In order to do that, something came to him. What do you think that was? Oh, that's just natural thought of having everybody go back to their own hometown. Everybody go back to their own home. It just so happens that Joseph's hometown was Bethlehem. Really? Hallelujah. In Micah 5:2 says this, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah," and that's, didn't spell it, pronounce it right, but there it is, "though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." So here Micah chapter 5 verse 2 is proclaiming that out of Bethlehem will come a ruler of Israel. 700 years later, God is moving on the mind of an emperor to cause them to go back to their hometown. Joseph's hometown happened to be Bethlehem. Mary was now married to Joseph. She was pregnant with child. 700 years later, this is coming to pass. Now, come on now. Who's orchestrating all this? It just so happens that he's going back there that was prophesied 700 years before? No. The fullness of time had come, and God moved on the mind and the heart of this emperor to do exactly what God wanted him to do, to get the prophetic word come to pass. Holy cow. Think about it. God would do all of that. Move nations here. Shovel them around there. Do all of these things to get everything and even the right emperor to listen to him. What do you think he will do for you? That was his son that he orchestrated all this for. Who are you? You're his son. You're his daughter. You're his child. Don't you think he'll move nations to get you into position to fulfill your purpose? We struggle. We fight. We try. We rush. We go here. We go there. We work hard. We work overtime. We do all of these things to get that which we think is what's important to us. When God says, "I will move mountains just to get you in position that I can bless you and use you for the glory of the kingdom." My. You think it's over? It ain't over. It's never over until God says it's over. And it won't be over until Jesus comes back, sets up his kingdom here for 1,000 years, and then lets loose of the enemy again, and then restores it back to the Father and gives everything back to him, and God sets up his glorious reign forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Something happens because God ordained it. There's things that we don't see, we don't know, and we never will know until we stand before the Lord. But I assure you this, without a doubt, God's not finished with you yet until you fulfill your purpose and the fullness of time has come for your life. That's what happened with Jesus. That's what happened with Diane. That's what's going to happen with each one of us. We don't understand it all, and don't try. You can ask God, but if you don't get your answer, trust Him anyways. Amen? He will show you things. He will tell you things. I'm going to stop there. I could continue. But I think the next time I'm going to do the fullness of time for each one of us. Look at the scriptures and show you that you were not born haphazardly just because two people happened to have a relationship and you were conceived and you came out of the womb and this is where you were born and this is your mother and father. There's purpose for all of it. There's a reason why God did it. He shows us this is His hand in this, not just somebody else doing something. And once you understand that, all of a sudden what happens is now you have something in you that's a boldness to proclaim God's will. I know what God is doing. God is fulfilling my purpose to bring Him glory, so that others may know Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.